Welcome to MDA Insights, the podcast where we bring you the latest in training and development trends straight from the experts at MDA Training. Each episode of MDA Insights will bring you a fresh perspective on the topical L&D issues of the day. So whether you're an HR manager, in learning and development, talent or recruitment, or just somebody who's curious about the latest trends in training and development, MDA Insights is the podcast for you.
I'm your host for today, Oz Hussain, and today we're going to be talking about how L&D initiatives can help boost employee engagement and retention. I'm delighted to be co-hosting today's show with my long-term colleague and friend, Paul Hewitt. Paul, how are you today?
Mighty fine, Oz. If I may say, it's been a bit of a hectic weekend with news in the financial markets, but it's good to be starting back on a Monday with renewed vigour.
Absolutely. Nice one, Paul. So, Paul, who's our special guest on today's show?
Today, we're joined by Vasily Ragler, founder of Zenes, an executive leadership coach and personal brand consultant to global leaders of Fortune 500 companies. And I should point out, Sally recently announced as one of the top executive coaches globally. So congratulations on both the recognition, but more to the point, welcome to our podcast today.
Thank you so much, Paul and Oz. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Vasily, I'd like to extend my thanks as well for joining us today. But before we get into some of the questions that we got on today's show, it'd be nice to hear a little bit about your career to this point, if that's okay.
I think my career has been one of those which is, as people say, completely unplanned in that sense, which means I've left a lot to curiosity. And in that sense, it has led me into various interesting directions. And sometimes either having the courage or lack of it has then moved me in those different paths. So I started my career as a technologist with a bank. So investment banking technology has been something that I have been associated with for many, many years. And then there came a point in time where I said, I'm sure there is more to life than banking and technology. And that took me in the direction of learning about something which we call today as image consulting. I went on to study that just for personal understanding, but thought it was so immensely useful that I became an image partner and then went on to do my coaching certification. And today I practice, as Paul mentioned, as a leadership and executive coach. I'm an ICF accredited professional coach.
Long journey and fascinating journey. And as you say, I like the fact you talk about the fact being led by curiosity at every stage.
It certainly is. I mean, looking back, I can say it is curiosity because literally the post tech and into this new phase, which I like to call as, let's say, talent focused more, was one evening I went to a park and I saw this lady sitting on a bench. And she looked immaculate in what she was wearing. She looked very peaceful and I dressed. And it's very unlike me to go and talk to people randomly like that. And I went up to her still and I said, who are you and what is it that you do? And I was so curious about the kind of work she does that it has taken me on this path. So I really thank her even today for this second phase or second innings of the career that I'm in.
That sounds fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Look, Vasily, the banking sector, we're not immune to what's going on in the markets. The banking sector is looking like it's facing some really turbulent times at the moment, given the news from SVB last week and Credit Suisse over the last weekend. How do you think can L&D help maintain that sense of curiosity for new joiners or for people already in a bank? How can we maintain the enthusiasm to stay curious when all around us seems to be falling apart?
Mm. I think, Paul, that is so interesting the way you've asked this question itself. There's a piece of work I do where I like to work with the early career hires or the new joiners into the work industry to do something called a C-School, where I teach them 7 human capabilities. And these are capabilities that are not new. Each one of us is almost born with that capability. But in the growing up years, we somewhere lose those, either because we are told, hey, don't be so creative about things, just get it done, or enough of your curiosity, I don't have time for these questions, and so on and so forth. And in that bargain, by the time this toddler and teenager reaches a corporate life, they have almost given up on those 7 capabilities. And so if they are now entering the workforce with feeling either anxious or feeling that I don't think this is a space for me to be curious and creative or any of the other 7, as I say, it's going to be a very difficult for that individual to survive in this corporate space. So be it the turmoil times that you've just spoken of, or for that matter, any kind of volatile environment that we are facing. We literally live in a VUCA world, I think, today. And if you think of that, if you're not curious enough, we will not be able to, very simply put, survive. And L&D initiatives, be it training or coaching or even mentoring, are meant to bring out a certain sense of, I'm curious to learn, I wish to learn something new. All of us, I heard this in one of the TV shows yesterday, is where this rapper came up on the show and said, all of us are in a game of learning. I found that statement so fascinating. We're all trying to learn something new pretty much on a daily basis. But if you're not curious, then you're just learning for the sake of it, or somebody has told you. So if we can change the L&D initiatives in a way that people become curious to learn because it helps them, I think that'll be fantastic. So turbulent times or volatility or anything else can be, I won't say overcome, but at least managed with resilience when you are curious to learn and figure out what to do next.
What would you say in your career, Vaishali, what L&D initiatives really stuck out to you? What really supported you in your career, especially in your early career? What would you say was some of the programs that you say you really benefited from?
I had 2 kinds of programs, I think I would recall at this point, that really benefited me. One, banking as a sector was new to me. I'm a technologist, I'm a computer science postgrad. So all we've learned at university is how to write a piece of code or networking. And by networking, I don't mean with people, but with networks and, you know, stuff like that. So sometimes as a techie, that human element was missing for me. So one of the things that I had to learn was communicating with people and how can you make it impactful and more eloquent. So that was very helpful. So a program on learning that and then practicing it on the job was super critical. The second was the domain. And I feel that whichever domain one joins, it's important to be, if not a master at it, but at least know what domain you're in. So banking as a domain was very new to me at that point, and wholesale banking at that, not retail, wholesale and corporate banking. So learning that domain, because if you're servicing a client, then client satisfaction comes only when you can speak the language of the client. You can understand what they're saying. You can be their friend in some sense as you build technology and applications and products for them. So I think that was one of the important things for me as an early career start. Later on, coaching was not known to me at that point. This I'm talking about 10, 12 years ago. But I think I had a pseudo coaching experience in one of my firms. And that left me pretty thrilled. And I still remember that quote because she gave me some insights into myself that I don't think anybody had ever done before that. So
yeah.
I can recollect these few things.
But Charlie, you talk about the need to be curious. But it's interesting when I look at some of your blogs you deliver online, your 11:11 on Tuesdays. And I love your expression, reflections, with a dash of fun and zen. Is humor also quite a critical skill that you think you need to bring with you, both in the world of work and also in life?
So sometimes the nature of work that I'm in can become overly serious, overly what are we trying to solve for? What behaviors are we treating here, right? And, you know, sometimes the work can go in a direction where it feels, am I starting to become like a doctor, a clinical psychologist? Like what kind of work am I trying to do? But the seriousness is a good thing. But I have also learned that people really would learn better if they enjoy that aspect, if there is a little bit of fun. So either through enjoyment or through some sort of lightness in the space that we're doing, the learning becomes more interesting. I've grown up reading so many of these comic strips, which through the use of humor have given such strong messages. So it's not always necessary for one to be like a very serious guru and give those messages, you know, in that tone and manner. You can deliver that through humor. And so as I was designing 11-11 Tuesdays, I thought, what are those four little things, the 1-1-1-1, that can be quick to read, leave an impact. And I'm really serving a wide demographic here. For somebody, a thought is great. For somebody, a humor is great. So I do think it's a combination that makes it impactful.
And leading on from that, again, I've been looking around your fantastic posts that you're doing all the time, Vaishali. And one of your posts that resonated with me, where it says it's not always easy to feel positive because we get consumed by fear, anger, irritation, jealousy, frustration, whatnot. And you talk about feeding yourself with thoughts that serve you better. Give us a little bit about that.
You've actually read the matter nicely. So I think, Oz, the whole idea is that there is a new psychology, a new book that I came across very recently. And we've all grown up with this cause and effect kind of thinking that this happened and so I did this or I had to do this. And there was a little bit of I always felt that was a little bit of, what's the right word for it? I'm leaving it to chance. I'm leaving it, I feel almost helpless. If I only rely on a cause that affect my life,
yeah.
Right? So somebody or something happened and therefore I am where I am. So where am I in this whole thing? Now that somebody or something can put in negative thoughts into me, can put anger, jealousy, frustration, whatever it is. The question I have to ask myself is, do they have so much power over me that I then go by what they wanted me to do? Or is there a way for me to change that and still decide how do I control my response to that? So going away from that cause and effect, which is more like a Freudian philosophy towards the new learning that I had from that book, which was the Adler philosophy, where we make a decision to do something because we believe we benefit from it. So we, even if I say, oh, I want to stay angry, I say that or I decide that because I feel anger is going to benefit me right now.
It's an interesting point about emotional intelligence, isn't it? Which is emotions trip first, always.
Yes.
Then the rational you has the choice of either denying the, well, not denying the emotions, but actually counteracting the emotions by clearing your mind or just sticking with them. As you rightly say, I can choose to remain angry. Anger itself is an emotion, but choosing to stay angry is a decision. I think actually, I think we're having a little, I mean, you talk certainly, the Zen-esque approach is to uncover inhibitions, understand tendencies and unleash excellence. And I think perhaps in some ways that feels like a very bespoke coaching journey, but isn't there also an opportunity for L&D L&D, you know, right now in the wider remits of banks and organizations to address exactly that type of challenge?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. L&D, when we say L&D, I think it's the vast space of what can employees pick to learn and develop themselves. And if you think of a career span of whatever, 25, 30 years, at the start of your career journey, you want to learn a certain way. You have certain learning needs that are very different from somebody who's in their 10 years and very different from somebody who's in the 20th year of experience, mm-hmm. right? And there isn't, it's not that you are going to look back and say, oh my God, I should have done what I'm doing now 20 years ago. Not true. What you did 20 years ago, the way you learned 20 years ago, or your needs of learning 20 years ago, were very different. And it is important that we cater to all of these consumer needs in the L&D space. I recently read an article which said that we will soon have 5 generations in the workforce.
Yeah.
It just left me, and my curiosity obviously took me into more thinking about what does this really mean? But just in my space about talent development, L&D, coaching, it just means that we can't sit complacent saying, hey, I'm going to give you a learning in this particular method and be happy with it. I'm going to be catering to 5 different kinds of consumers because generationally, they've all wanted different ways of learning. So how do we make that happen? And if today, when you look at organizations, their number one success factor comes from employee engagement. It no longer is just employee productivity. It used to be a few years ago, but today, especially post-pandemic, is how engaged is my employee? Because that then guarantees me customer satisfaction, that guarantees me better results, more productivity, longevity, et cetera, et cetera. So if as an L&D function, I can cater to these different demographics, I can cater to the different kinds of learning needs, I think that's a tremendous way to be developing the L&D space for any organization.
And I'm going to pick one word out there. You said it just triggered me with something else I've read on your fantastic and varied profile, Vaishali, cater. And you, one of the phrases you put in there, what's yuck today, maybe yum tomorrow. As soon as I heard that cater, I thought, well, actually, let me build that in now. Tell me a bit of what a fantastic little phrase that was. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was interesting. When I wrote that article, a lot of people replied to me saying the spelling is incorrect, Vaishali. This is not how you spell yuck and this is not how you spell yum. And I said, that's my way of spelling. Like, at least it caught your attention. So go read what it is about.
Absolutely.
But it literally is that, right? So a lot of my personal experiences have been what I did not like a few years ago. I seem to have either a liking for it now, or at least a tolerance and acceptance for it now, and vice versa. Maybe I was a certain way many years ago, and people have said this to me, that you've changed over years. So the kind of behaviors, the kind of personality, the kind of things I did, which I thought were brilliant, and I don't do that anymore in the kind of nature of work that I'm in. So things change, perspectives change. And if they don't, then we're just being stagnant. So the yuck to yum, or even vice versa, is really in my head all about not being stagnant, not becoming stale, and staying true to who you feel you are at this point.
Which comes back actually to your point earlier on. You will always forever be you, but your views, your attitudes might well change over time. And from that perspective, an L&D initiative has got to focus on the individual rather than the group, the cohort. And I think I loved your point that actually Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, however we define them, they might have certain characteristics, but they are still individuals with their preferred approach to learning. Mm. And therefore, it should be quite a focused way to deliver any learning.
Absolutely. And Paul, your question couldn't have been more timely. I in this earlier today, I was in a group discussion with about 20 early careers. So they were in their sort of 5-year experience range. And we were discussing about what kind of learning, what methods of learning would they prefer. And one interesting insight that came out of it is they said when we joined an organization, we preferred group learning because we were picking up skills. Similar to the question that Oz asked me, when I joined, I wanted to learn communication as a skill, or I wanted to learn banking as a skill. And to learn a skill, group learning was fine for me. But the stage that they were at, which is like 5 years experience, they were going in for more specialized learning, more expertise building. And they said, I'm looking for now more individual focus. I don't want to be sitting in a group of different people with different learning experiences or different levels of learning for that matter. I don't want to be held behind just because somebody's not getting it. So they were looking for more customized, more individual focused learning needs. And that's where it's headed. So an L&D function will really have to be on their toes to start delivering to all of these requirements.
Vaishali, it's been an absolute pleasure.
And Vaishali, just from my perspective, I need to go back to try to enjoy sprouts, because they, for me, have always been yuck, but I should make sure they become yum over time.
Give it time, Paul. Don't force yourself.
Pleasure, Vaishali. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul and Oz. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
That's all for today's episode of MDA Insights. At MDA Training, we take a unique approach to training and development. We don't just focus on the theory, we focus on real-world application of that theory. We work with our clients to understand their specific needs and design experiential training solutions to meet those needs. But it's not just about the training. We work with our clients to help them achieve measurable results and create real behavior change in the workplace. We hope you found this information valuable from our podcast today. If you did, please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. We'll be back next week with more insights and expert advice. Thanks for listening.